Well, good morning. 6:13 on June 18th. Five more minutes and I could have had 6:18 going here. Oh, well. Monday morning. This is the last day I'll have the family at home for almost a whole week. It's going to be, I hope, a highly productive week. I'm not quite sure what's going to happen with my walking schedule. I hope I'm going to maintain it. In fact, there's no reason not to, since there won't be anybody to wake up with me thrashing around in the kitchen at ridiculous hours of the day, which is one of the considerations that I have to deal with. So I'm listening to part two of the roundtable goes to Balticon, and other than the ongoing theme of, wow, we drink a lot there, it's really interesting to me. The statements, I think I've heard, and I don't remember who else is on here. I haven't gotten through the second part yet. So far, everybody he's talked to, he being Dave Robeson, everybody he's talked to has been a familiar name, if not somebody I would be able to get onto Skype and say, yo. But what's fascinating to me is how these two guys interpret these little sound bites and how they bang them around, how Brian uses them in relation to his class, talking about his students. And I'm finding it fascinating and in a certain sense inspirational, because the one thing that keeps coming up is that you have to do the work. And it's like, yeah. And I got to do more work. I got to do some more work. Yesterday was Father's Day. It was Family Day. Nothing happened. Mostly what we were doing was laundry. I expect today is going to be another family day as we struggle to get people packed. Three girls with their clothes in suitcases with the appropriate accoutrement and out of here tomorrow. They don't have to leave until mid-morning tomorrow. Their flight's not till mid-afternoon. They get in late in the day on Tuesday in Ohio. So, yeah. And coincidentally, Brand Gamblin is coming in my direction, I think, today. So part of my week is going to be taken up driving down to Denver. I'm going to take at least one day and go down because I've got books down there. I've got some business to do in Denver. My car is repaired. All I have to do is fill it with gas and I can go. I need to contact the bookseller and let her know that I'm coming down. Probably on Wednesday. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be a good break for me, and one that I sorely need. Oh, and today being Monday, it's therapy day, so the morning's going to get broken up by that anyway. So that's just one more thing. That's okay. One day at a time. I got one project done over the weekend. I got the shooter out. I heard back from Tony C. Smith, who thought the narration was brilliant. I think he's just buttering me up to give me some more. But that's Tony. And what I'm going to have to say is no until I get these last two pieces for Dan Sawyer out. So that will clear my audio pack. And that'll be one less line on my calendar for things that I'm supposed to be doing today. Today I'm supposed to be working on Dan Sawyer and on writing. I'm not going to get to do audio today. I know we're going to run laundry all day today. And in the afternoon, the air conditioner is going to come on. Today's high is supposed to be 101. I suspect that's an underestimate. I suspect it's going to get a lot hotter before the day is over. Yesterday was also smoke day. Everybody's coughing a little bit. The town was completely wreathed in wood smoke from the High Park fire. And given that that fire is 55, 60 miles away, gives you an idea of how potent and how big and how powerful that thing really is. There's still a little scent of it this morning floating around. I can smell it on the wind. Now, either that or it's this shirt because I was barbecuing last night. No, it's the wind. So, yeah. Nora Roberts. Anita asked in a comment, she'd like to know what I think about how Nora Roberts makes it work. And I've been, as I've said before, I've been studying Nora Roberts. Part of it goes back to, I think, something that I was doing inadvertently, or on purpose, but it's also something that I've noted in her books. Now, people have said about my stories that my worlds are places that people want to live. And what Nora Roberts does is take the notion, fiddling with my earbud here, hang on a second, takes the notion of romance, of two people crazy about each other, that to the point where nothing else really matters, to the point where they don't have a complete life until they become an item. And then she puts obstacles in their way that are usually related to failure to understand the actions of the other. And she does this by having each of them do something that the other person misinterprets and causes that person to suffer the slings and arrows of their own self-doubt. And that's pretty much the whole enchilada right there. It's how do they get around the self-doubt? How do they tell each other how much the other is admired? They have hot monkey love. But that's really not the point, other than it's a strong motivator. And I've been looking at her books to see how she does series, because I'm convinced that series in particular is going to be how to make books sell. And so if you have a series, as I've done with Ishmael Huang, and I'm doing with Tanith Fairport, if you have a series, then each new book brings new readers to the fold. And she's done it in a couple of different ways. I've been looking at her catalog, her back catalog, and I'm reading the McCade brothers. So she has four brothers, and she writes a story about each. It's in a series because as you go along, each brother falls to the wiles of matrimony and wins fair maiden through diligence, hard work, and protection, etc., etc. So she does it that way. She's also got a series called, I think it's The Last Inn at Boonesboro or something like that, where there's a series, and I think it's three. There might be more. It might still be in progress. I don't know. Where each story is set in and around this inn. I haven't read the stories to see how she links them together, but I suspect she's done something very similar to the McCade brothers, where there's a family of people who need to move up, move out, move on. And there's a series of professions that she has. There's one summer where two photographers with different viewpoints and outlooks have to travel America in one summer and take pictures for a coffee table style book that they've been commissioned to do. And there's one that's a chef. What's the name of that one? I can't think of it now. The lead character is a pastry chef, champion, world famous, flies to Paris to do one dessert for somebody on commission. and she's approached by the head of a prestigious old hotel chain with its headquarters in Philadelphia, and to run the kitchen in the Philadelphia hotel. And so there's this whole idea of profession that she blends in there. I can see this working. It's interesting to see how she does it. But the core of it, what keeps dragging me back into these stories is that she's able to paint a very believable picture of a character, a very flawed picture of a character that isn't completed until they become part of a larger whole with a second character who is also flawed in a complementary way. As in completion, not complementing. And so she always has these two paired characters, and she's able to do in a very few words, but also in a very consistent manner. She does it always the same way, where your first view of the character is from the other person's eyes. Each of her books has two points of view. The woman's point of view, of course, has precedent. The guy's point of view is there. And you always see her through his eyes. You always see him through her eyes. Now, some of her books, I have to say, her points of view jump around unbelievably in ways that I wouldn't be able to get away with. People would accuse me of head-hopping, but because it's Nora Roberts, she can do it. But she will jump from one paragraph to the next. She will jump from one point of view to another. And the beauty of it is that you're never confused about who she's looking through the eyes. You're never confused about... Good morning. You're never confused about who she's talking for when she's writing it on the page. But a couple of places where the transition has been a little rougher than usual, because it's usually so smooth. The first few words of the sentence in the paragraph identify the speaker or the viewpoint. And usually that's enough to sweep you through the paragraph, through the point of view change and onward. But she does it really in the first few words of the new paragraph, whenever she's going to change point of view. So it's fascinating. The first kiss happens almost in exactly the same place, about a third of the way into the book. Maybe a little bit sooner. I don't know if that's what she considers her transition from first act to second act. It could be. Act two usually has some sort of wild monkey love in it. And the end of the book is how they come together, resolve their differences, overcome whatever might have been the issue. And sometimes it's just their issues. Sometimes it's others. But it's interesting to watch. It's interesting to read. And it's really interesting to have the viewpoints from some of the other characters about love and life and getting on and getting by and living fully and all those kinds of things that everybody really wishes they could do, but is really hobbled in many cases by fear. So Nora Roberts creates worlds that people want to live in. She creates idealized situations where the guy gets the girl and the girl gets the guy, and they're both happier for it. But it's really fascinating to watch how few words it takes. The McCabe brothers' stories are relatively short. They're more like novellas. They're oh, I don't know, real short novels, probably 60, 70,000 words at the most, maybe 50,000 words at the most. And she's able to get a whole arc in there for two characters, plus some side stuff going on. I'm reading Devin McCade's story now. I think it's The Heart of Devin McCade. I'm looking forward, actually looking forward to how she wraps up with the last brother and where she's going to find the woman for him in the town. All the others have had newcomers come to the town. In the case of Devin, it's his high school crush, who never actually returned his crush, although she actually did and he didn't know. Yep, definitely. Smoke. It's got kind of a peppery smell to it right here. I wonder what that's all about. So yeah, Nora Roberts. I suppose when you've done 200 of these things, they just sort of flow. And it isn't that she's really just substituting names and situations, although from a very real sense, she is. She has a very clear formula that she's writing. And the formula works. The formula works so well that even though you know it's a formula, you don't care. And I wonder, it's interesting. It just flashed through my mind that perhaps part of the fascination of it is that I know it's a formula. And I want to see how she solves it for the next story. It's sort of like a quadratic equation. And you've got the setup. And then you go through and you substitute X, Y, and Z. And what does that do to the story? And then you replace it with different X, Y, and Z. What does that do to the story? And you replace it with a different X, Y, and Z. What does that do to the story? But the equation is always the same. The formula is always the same. It's how you solve it. And while in a certain sense you always solve it the same way, from a math standpoint, the reality is in fiction, you have all kinds of different ways that you can solve this one basic formula. Boy meets girl. Girl meets boy. Boy and girl disagree. Boy and girl have a problem that they have to solve together. Boy and girl end up together in the end. Basic formula. I think that's pretty much it. But how she solves it each time and each way differently. Good morning. That's really where the fascination, for me, that's where the fascination lies. And the fact that they're really nice, feel-good, soothing in a lot of ways, story. So yeah, I'm a sucker. I need to read some more stuff from different authors. I've been kind of stuck on Nora Roberts for a while. I need to get back to Robert Parker, but Jesus, his books are so expensive. You know, $10 for a book. I read a couple. Gave me a feel for it. Okay, putting the phone in my pocket is not a good idea. Apparently it recorded okay. I've got 19 minutes and something on the recorder. But when I pulled it out of my pocket, it stopped recording, which makes me think I either hit the stop button or punched the screen or did something to interrupt it. I think I've got all the stuff there. If not, well, it is what it is. And I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. I'll talk to you then.